Fania, how are you doing?
Mike, Justin, I'm doing great. We got plans for the world and I'm really happy.
We got plans. I'm very excited. I'm going to say this right up front.
Yep.
I know that there are people in the middle of the summer who sit in front of the microphone sweating and just like dying of heat because they're trying to make sure the sound is perfect. I'm not one of those people. I have my AC going.
It's fine.
Yeah, I cannot take it. We'll see if I can do the thing where I remove the sound later. So hopefully it'll be fine. We're in like our third day of it being over 90 degrees in New York City.
That's crazy. Isn't that crazy for this time?
Yeah.
I guess it's June.
I mean, it's the beginning of June. And I guess that's when it starts getting hot. I do keep telling myself, like, this is just the beginning. Like, there's all of summer yet to go. It's definitely going to get hotter. But I don't do well. I don't do well in the heat. We've discussed this. It wreaks havoc with my system.
It does. When you're old, you'll be like the opposite of a snowbird. You're going to be like a, I don't know, whatever bird flies to the cold. You're going to be like, I need to go to Canada for the summer months.
I can totally see that being a thing. We're like, I'm going to live in the Arctic Circle for the summer months.
You're going to go to Newfoundland and get chile.
Yeah, the heat is too much.
Thanks, global warming.
Boo. How are you doing? What's your week been like?
I'm just like in the grind. I'm working, living. It's funny. It seems like we just recorded. Life has passed quite quickly, you know? I've had the sick kids, so they're getting over that. And you know what I love, actually, both of them, because they were sick, they have these like little mini baby Janis Joplin voices. They're like, hi, mom. How you doing? It's so cute. I just wish that they could have that voice always. Actually, my daughter did when she was... Remember she had like that husky little voice? Anyways, I miss
it. She did, yeah.
But I'm glad they're on the mend. They're getting healthy. So we've just been... That's it. We've been doing... Just keeping it low to the chest. Does that make sense? I don't know. You know what I'm saying. We haven't done shit this week.
Do you still have... house guests?
We do. Yes, we do. You know, it's actually, you know, I feel so bad. Our friends had a fire in their complex and there's like major smoke damage. So luckily we have a house, you know, and we've got a nice big space. So we've been sharing the space with another family. And honestly, it's been really great because it's weird. We've spent the whole quarantine, the whole year sort of apart from people and, you know, waving to our neighbors from across the street, but we're all in one house and we're making it work. And at first it's kind of like, whoa, yeah, we're all together, but their kids are playing with our kids. It makes it easier. And I just, hopefully they'll figure, you know, it out. Like right now, the whole worry is like, is it safe to breathe in that or to be in that space? Because it was an older home. There might've been asbestos. And luckily none of their belongings were, you know, caught on fire, but it's just, you know, smoke can really do harm and it's got bad, you know, depending on what was in the air. So they're waiting to find out. But otherwise they're here until that happens. So, but it's been good.
Well, that's great that you have the space. It's great that you can make that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. How about you? How was your week? Did you work like a bajillion days?
I'm working so much. I'm working a lot. And it's still, you know, it's so tough in the heat. And we opened up a space next door for like additional seating that I thought was just going to be a disaster. And it really hasn't been. It actually went really, really smoothly.
Good.
So it's been fine. It's just really arduous. So, you know, and I also, you know, I kind of had talked about this a little bit. And I thought that I would give a little bit of an update and kind of say more about what's happening with my mom, because we've been struggling for a while now with deciding what. And I don't like saying that exactly, because I at every point, and I said this to her on the phone the other night, that I at every point have wanted her to be in charge. I've wanted her to be in charge of her future and for her to be making the decisions about what she thinks is best for her. Like, I never wanted it to feel like we were doing something. But it sort of, we've been, all of us, struggling and sort of like playing with the idea of, would she be better off in a facility where there are people to help take care of her? And And, you know, it was really, I will say that not that long ago, like probably a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I was very, very opposed to it. I thought that it did not sound like a good idea. She wanted to stay in her house and I wanted that for her as well. And it felt like that was more manageable. And I will say that there were definitely moments during the whole coronavirus situation that I was very happy that she was in her house alone, you know, that she wasn't, because there were so many terrifying things happening in assisted living facilities. And you know, for the last few months, we've kind of gone back to wrestling with what would be best for her. And, you know, long story short, she is moving into an assisted living facility later this month. For the most part, most of us agree that it's the right thing to do. And she feels good about it, which once again was the most important thing for me, was that I wanted her to be on board with the choice, obviously.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a kind of place where she has her own little apartment. She has a living room and her own, obviously, like bedroom and private bathroom. And
great.
And then there's the communal space where you can go and eat. And there's like a pool table upstairs and a game room and a fitness center. And, you know, it's in kind of a cool little neighborhood. It's a different neighborhood than we've lived before. But, you know, I think it's been really hard. It's been a really, really difficult process of trying to get people on the same page, and not necessarily getting everyone on the same page. But like I said, for the most part, it's about getting her to feel this way and to think that this is the right choice. Mm-hmm. And so part of what I'm of this is that I am going to be going home in a month or so, and I'll be there for about a week to kind of like go and be in the house that my mom has lived in for the past several years. And, you know, it's funny because it's, I think I've talked about this here before. It's not my childhood home. You know, my parents lived in the same house from the time that I was like 3 months old until I was like 30-ish, like 31, something like that. And that was a little shocking when they made that move. They made it because my dad was dealing with ALS and he was more and more having, you know, it's a multi-level home. Obviously, you remember it. Mm-hmm. You used to come and visit when I lived in that house and years ago. And they needed to live in a house where everything was one level to help him get around. Eventually, he was in a wheelchair. And, you know, when I first went to the new house, it was a little bit of a shock because, once again, I didn't move as a kid. I know people that moved from the time that they were kids or in their teenage years. And, you know, we hadn't ever done that. And it was kind of a shock. But I have to say that really, really quickly, I grew to really love the house that they moved into and loving the neighborhood. And so on top of going home, obviously, to see my mom and make sure that she's doing okay and make sure that she's settling in and to kind of help settle things with the house and see if there's anything that I can't imagine there's anything that I'm really going to want to take for myself, because what am I going to do with, you know, a coffee table? You know, like I live so far away, there's not really much that I can do, but just to kind of go through. But I'm honestly looking forward to kind of like strolling around the neighborhood one last time, because, you know, I will probably never be in that neighborhood ever again. You know, well, there's not any reason why I would go back to there. he said eloquently. So it's been an interesting week as far as that goes, and kind of getting those things settled and really feeling grateful to my siblings who live at home, who have been able to step in and take care of things and get things moving along. And my sister's husband's mother is actually also moving into the same facility at almost the exact same time as my mom, which, that sort of added a little bit. I think that helped my mom as well, for her to say, okay, well, I will know someone else there. I will know someone else who's just getting started too. So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful, you know, honestly, I'm grateful that it's a privilege. It's a privilege that she's able to move into a facility like this, that she has the financial ability, that she it's not everyone can have this option. So I'm very happy for her and very happy that feels it feels like the right next thing, like it feels like the right decisions being made. So that's been difficult but also reassuring at the same time. It's a lot.
It sounds like a lot. But
and then, you know, And then I don't want to get into too much of the details, but Vanya and I are making some things happen.
That's right. I'm very excited.
I'm super excited. We'll kind of like share it when it's more solidified and then of course talk about it when it's happened. But it was just sort of this thing that it was like, well, this is happening here on this day and this is happening nearby on the, and we were kind of like,
and Mike's birthday.
Right. And it was like, can we actually do this and like make this happen? And we're totally making it happen. And I'm so excited. Yeah. It gives me a thing to look forward to. Yeah. And I'm just trying to like put down as many of those as possible. Like I have this thing to look forward to here and this thing here, and yeah, like give myself a reason to keep working so hard. And
right,
so I'm excited. So there's fun stuff.
Yeah,
coming up.
It is exciting, you know, coming out of the pandemic, actually being able to make travel plans. So shall I tell you what I'm digging this week?
Yes, please go for it.
I mean, I don't know why I don't have to start. I'm such a brat sometimes. I'm sorry. I'm sure my
no, I like it.
My
take
sister's
control.
Listening, and she's like, she is a brat. I am, guys. I am a brat. I actually was thinking about this while I was like parenting my kids. Because I'm the oldest child, it's like my instinct sometimes when things get hard, and I'm an adult and I'm not an idiot and I don't totally go there, but sometimes my instinct is to be the bratty older sibling to my kids. And I'm like, whoa, 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 Vanya, pull it back. They don't need that. And I've learned something, you know, and that's what my oldest daughter's for the little one. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, I have this instinct to sort of like, not, this is the wrong, I was going to say bully them. That's not true. But I never do. I sit down, I take a knee, and I'm like, you seem frustrated. It's frustrating not getting what you want. You know what I mean?
No, I noticed that. I thought that you did a very, very good job. We kind of talked about when your daughter had been sad about leaving the pool when she had just started making friends.
Yeah.
And like, my instinct is to be a little bit like, you're going to get over it. You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you had your moment where you were like, I understand that that's frustrating. I totally get that you must be, that must make you sad. And I was like, oh, that is the more mature way to handle the situation.
Yeah. I mean, I had to learn it by rote because there are times where I get my reaction is to get like just pissed and be like, come on, let's go. Good God. But I feel like the proof is in the pudding. If you sit down, acknowledge there, and you can't like be a dick about it. Oh, I know. You know, like there are times where I just want to mock them. I swear I got it so hard. But yeah, if you really not acknowledge, and then they'll still be pissy after, but like at least you tried. And then now I'm like, come on. Then I yell.
Right.
We're getting out of here. Okay, so anyways, so my digging is kind of, it was spurred by, you know, I love the podcast Smartless, and that's with, oh my God, this is where I, anyways, watch Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, and
Sean Hayes.
Thank you, Sean Hayes. I always want to say his Will and Grace name. Anyways, which I can't actually remember now. But so I was listening to them and they had Zach Galifianakis on, and it was such a good episode. In the past, you know, when I've watched like Between Two Ferns with Zach and Galifianakis, it's some of that cringe humor, which I know Mike is not a fan of always. And I have some issues with sometimes too, but he's funny and whatever. He was such a delight to listen to. And, you know, he talked about fame. He now lives in Canada with his wife. He's not really working and he has kids. He's basically just being a caregiver to his kids, which I think, great. If that makes you happy, wonderful. But they talk, you know, they ask a lot of questions and things like that. One question that they had asked is, I think like how he got into comedy, and he had said that he loved growing up, loved making his dad laugh because his dad had this jovial personality, this laughter. And he had talked about like how you can't really fake laughter, like true laughter. And it got me to thinking in my childhood, oh my God, the biggest joy, and this is probably why I love and got into comedy, was making my parents laugh and my uncle. And it's like because my dad was kind of more of a serious guy. I mean, everybody loves him. Everybody who meets him, he's very social. But like in our family, it was like he was really big on like teaching us how to, you know, be good people and avoid catastrophe, lots of anxiety in our household. But like, so when to make him laugh was just like such a hard task. And when you did it, it was like, oh my God, this is like, look at me making everybody happy or whatever. But then on my mom's side, with my mom, making my mom laugh, I was around her all the time, and I could make her like roll. I could make her cry, and like where she could not stop laughing. And so those moments just bring me such joy to think about, and it makes me miss my mom and dad. But my mom, because I could really get her going. Because you know when you get the giggles and you can't stop, I could do that to my mom like weekly. Yeah. Like where she, and it's just like a fun, it was just such a wonderful gift to have her, to have. Because for me, it, you know, for my dad, it was like making him laugh was like easing this tension and whatever. But for making my mom laugh was like, not that we weren't equals. We were not equal. She was my mom. But she listened to me, you know. She like, she gave me the confidence that I was funny. And I you know, I love her for that. But then also making my uncle laugh. And I call my my uncle my amo, which in Armenian, I think means like brother's brother. But so my amo, he would instigate and be like, go say this to your dad. And then he would, this is when I was really little. And I would, so I'd go say something, maybe even in Armenian or Arabic or something or whatever. And he would like laugh so hard. It, which is so... It was a common theme in our family. We just, everybody was, everybody's trying to do their best, but laughing is, I can still hear them laughing, and it makes my heart swell with love and joy. So that's what I'm digging this week. It kind of spurred from the Smartless podcast, but it was just this great memory, these great memories. How about you?
Yeah, I was trying to think if I had, because my dad was kind of like the funny one in the family. Like my dad was like the jokester. And mm-hmm. and then I think about, but I do think that he instilled a sense of, I mean, to put it simply, a sense of humor in all of us that I think about. Particularly my sisters and I back in the day, like we would go out and we would just laugh, like we would just like make each other laugh and make my parents laugh. And we would get like angry looks from other people at the restaurant because we'd be loud and like laughing and just being silly. And yeah, it was just a sense of fun and like a sense of frivolity. And I think it's great to be raised with a sense of, I keep saying a sense of humor, but I mean it more to like an appreciation of humor, an appreciation of being funny. And it was never mean. It was always like, if anything, it was maybe a little self-deprecating, but maybe a little teasing, but it was never meant to hurt anyone. And
sure.
Yeah, that kind of, I appreciate that family bond, that family sense of humor is something that I'm very grateful for.
I love that. I do remember I went too far once, and I was always like, I was always I was always drawn to people who were funny. And one of my closest best friends growing up, her name was Laura. She was one of the most hilarious people. And I think we played volleyball, and so we traveled all over the country together and just giggling, on our off time and just like laughing so hard. Just the joke was always the most important thing. And it was, I think we were in like eighth grade or maybe ninth grade. And it was really big when people were putting those, they were braiding their hair, but not braiding. They were putting like friendship bracelets in people's hairs, essentially, right? And once someone of the girls made it really thick. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about. She had mentioned something like, it's as big as a horse's dong. And I'm like, that is the hilarious thing. I laughed so hard. And I was like, I'm going to try this joke with my mom. Didn't go over well. She didn't think that was as funny. And I remember her being like, completely, because of course I did it in public. And that one, not so great. Oh, wait, one more. I have to say one more. One more. When my mom, because remember when sponge painting was big? My mom had sponge painted our bath, like our kids' bathroom. And it was like, I think my sister and I picked the colors like magenta, and then she sponge painted on top of that like a light pink or whatever. And then I remember that night my dad came to see it, and he's like, he had mentioned it looks like a French whorehouse. Later, I'm like, how do you know what a French whorehouse looks like? I think as an adult now. But my mom, they laughed so hard, and I'm like, this is hilarious. So in public, I mentioned to lots of people, possibly church people, that my dad thought our new bathroom looked like a French whorehouse. Anyways, so there's that. Okay, sorry. No, you tell me.
No, I love it. I love it. I went crazy with the sponge painting. Like, I sponge painted rooms that I was not responsible for. Like, I was very, like, yeah, I, like, irresponsibly, like, sponge painted my room ready. I sponge painted it. You would choose, like, a main color, and then you would choose an accent color, right? So my main color was black. My accent color was, like, dark gray.
Oh,
and I did the entire room in like black and dark gray. I did the other room, I did in like burgundy and dusty rose.
Okay.
Yeah, it was that was all eventually repainted. But
oh,
yeah,
that's
I
so
did
funny.
I went crazy with the sponge painting. What I'm digging this week is something that I've kind of put on like the back burner of like, I'm going to bring this up at some point. Because it's just it's a person and it's their product that I really, really enjoy. I'm such a huge fan of Samantha Bee.
Yes.
Yeah. I just enjoy her humor. I enjoy her brand. I enjoy her product. I loved her on The Daily Show. She has her own show on TBS called Full Frontal that I love. She has a podcast now called Full Release that I love. Ooh. In fact, I'm in the middle of listening to an episode right now. And, you know, another podcast, another. I just for me, though, I just enjoy her point of view. I enjoy she's really good, particularly on the podcast. I really enjoy it, especially moments when it's just her and her producers talking, because she's really good at being dark in a funny way. Like, she's really good at almost like morbidly giggling at the doom of it all.
Sure.
And it makes me laugh. Like, that's for me, like, yeah, for me that's like a sense of relief and release that I really enjoy. So I don't know, I just wanted to give a shout out to Samantha Bee. I just think that she's funny. I enjoy her brain. I enjoy the way that she phrases things. I enjoy, you know, her show is always up against like The Tonight Show and all those other talk shows. Yeah. And like, I guess they put like The Daily Show in the same category. And of course, you know, Last Week Tonight or whatever, I think that's what it's called, always wins the Emmy, which is fine. Like, it's a very well produced show. But it's hard because like for Samantha, it's like literally just her standing in front of a screen. And then every once in a while, they'll have like a little mm-hmm. interview. So I don't know. It feels hard to put those all in the same category. But I don't know. I love her and I love her product and she makes me laugh. And I wanted to take a moment just to give a shout out to Samantha Bee because I enjoy her very much.
Oh, I love her too. I loved her book as well.
You know, I haven't read her book. I'm going to have to get that. Is it like a memoir kind of thing or like yeah. essays?
Yeah, no, it's a memoir. It's about sort of her upbringing and kind of how she got into comedy and where she is today. She's fabulous.
I'll have to check that out. Another one that I want to read because I was just listening to Fresh Air and they have Rita Moreno on.
Oh,
famously
yeah.
winning an Academy Award for West Side Story. I think that she's so fascinating too. I need to read her book as well, because even just the things that she talked about on this interview, I was like, I just had no idea. I had no idea that she won the Academy Award for West Side Story and then didn't make another movie for 7 years after that.
Why?
Because she was being given roles that she thought weren't right for her. She was being given roles that she thought weren't of significance or roles that she thought were racially inappropriate for her to play. And she had already played those roles. She'd already played Middle Eastern lady and the Asian lady and all the other ethnicities that weren't her.
Yeah.
And that she just kind of said, like, I have an Academy Award. Like, I don't need to play these anymore. I want to play roles that makes sense for me. And good for her, especially back in that time yeah. period, to say I'm gonna go ahead and say goodbye to Hollywood for a while. I think that's pretty brave. So Samantha Bee and Rita Moreno are my two heroes this week. I enjoy them both.
I love that.
Anything you could do without?
Yes, let me see here. So mine are not as dark as last week's. I have a couple, but
okay,
real quickly, you know, the delay in like Zoom calls, because I work, you know, online, I work at home, and everybody's still, eventually the world's going to come back, I think, and people will be in the office someday. But for now, and for the next at least 6 months, I think we're still going to be like this. It's just hard to communicate. You talk on top of people. Even with us, Mike, sometimes there's a delay. You are a genius editor, so we don't seem like we're talking on top of each other. But it's just like so annoying sometimes. And then there's certain people in you work with who just don't give a shit and just keep talking. And you're like,
Right.
The other one, something I can do without, or I need to figure out how to get better. And maybe everyone's having a little bit of this issue because we're just now getting into the social world again. I have such diarrhea of the mouth with people I don't know. And it has a little bit to do with being ADHD. It's like I've gotten a lot better because I'm aware of it, or where I'll just like take over a party and like, not that I want all the attention, but I can't sometimes help myself. So it's something I'm learning. But I went to a small gathering and it was actually outside, and I was with other people and who were actors, and for some reason I had to talk about why I think like I'm not an actor. I hated myself. I couldn't stop. And I was talking to my husband afterwards. He's like, you know, you don't even have to say anything if you don't want to. I'm like, I know. know. I don't know how to. Sometimes, why can't I just get into a group of people I don't know and be like, I'm a creative person. I don't have to be like, I was an actor. I don't have to tell everyone my goddamn life story and all of my insecurities and where I am today. And now I do two podcasts and I'm writing. Why, Mike? Why can't I just, where people don't show all their cards? What you see is what you get with me. I cannot let, I can't lie. You know what I mean? I need to not be so socially awkward sometimes.
I think that that's part of why we're such friends though, because I totally have that exact same tendency where I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine who is in theater and actively working and auditioning and trying to have a career in theater. And I had to give my whole speech about why I have no interest in being in theater and why I think theater is such an unstable career. And then later, I probably didn't need to say all of that to my friend who is currently trying to work in the theater industry. There's a line in the play, in the musical, the book for Merrily We Roll Along, where one of the characters says, I say too much and then go home and suffer.
Yes.
And I remember hearing that line the first time being like, I totally get it. Cause I have the exact same tendency, right? I say that almost once a night or once a day, I have a moment where I look back and go, why did I say that? I didn't need to say that. So I feel you. I'm 100% on your side on that one.
That makes me feel good. And I guess if you know you're my friend, you know that I'm telling you how I'm always feeling. If I was unhappy with you, you would know. You know what I mean? I'm just the diarrhea.
Yeah,
I can't even stop
absolutely.
It. But I'm with you on that too. These poor people who are trying to be actors or not trying, but they're successful for the love of God. And I'm just telling them why I don't like it or I hate auditioning. Shut up. Shut up. Nobody needs to hear that. Just be joyful in who you are. They don't need to know. They don't care. They don't care. Okay. So how about you? Yeah. What could you do without this week? Thank you.
So this is something that happened just a few days ago. And we've talked about the updates on computers and how things software is always updating. And my phone just did an update. Here's the thing. I don't mean to be that old person who's why are you changing the way my things work? But even on my podcast app, it just updated and it's all I can't figure out how to delete things. Now it's set up so that you see every episode of everything that you subscribe to. And I guess that doesn't mean that you have them all on your phone. So I guess it's fine. But I wanted to skip one and I couldn't just delete it. I had to play it and then fast forward it. I don't know. And probably I'm doing something wrong. I get it. Probably it's me. Probably I'm the problem here. But it's that whole thing where why are we updating things to make them less easy to use? I need an instruction. I need it to be here is why it's doing this now. Here is how this function works.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just don't like it. Don't update my things to make it more difficult. I'm feeling very old when that happens, where I'm it used to work fine when I just played my CDs.
Well, I'm sure
there you go. That's
I'm sure some Gen Z-er out there has a YouTube channel on telling you what the update means. So we could probably find you
probably.
Something.
So there you go. So what I wanted to talk about, because as we already kind of hinted at, Vanya and I are planning a fun little vacation that we're going to go on. And I'm planning a lot of little excursions throughout the summer just to sort of break things up and get out of... basically get out of my job for a while. So I wanted to talk about random vacations or things that you think about that you did either when you were young or I know that you've done some traveling for film festivals and you've definitely been to some places that I've never been to before. I was thinking about probably one of the coolest things that I ever saw when I was a teenager, but one of the coolest things I ever saw in general was we went to the Carlsbad Caverns. Have you heard of this place before?
Yeah. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. I've never been.
Have you ever been there?
I think it would give me a full heart attack.
Well, see, here's the thing. I wonder if I could enjoy it now. Because for those that don't know, there are two ways to enter it. You can walk in through a cave. But the way most people do it is that you get in an elevator and the elevator drops you, fairly deep into the earth. And then you open and you're in a cave, you're in an underground series of tunnels. And there are paths and it's lit and you can walk around. And there's a little snack bar down there where nothing can be cooked, obviously. It's all just sandwiches and chips and things like that. and you sort of walk through and you see like the stalagmites and stalactites, and I still couldn't tell you which one is which, and like little pools and streams like deep in the deep underground. And I remember like loving it. And it's funny that I think about it now and I'm like, I wonder if I would freak out. Like, I wonder if I would be able to like breathe and enjoy it, or if my newly acquired sense of like the earth is crashing down on me would like not make it enjoyable. And at one point they do take you into a part of the of this cave system and they turn off the lights, and it's literally you cannot see your hand in front of your face. Like, there is absolutely no light coming. And now I guess it would be different now because we all have phones or we have like watches that light up. But you know, you think this was like 1994, like there was no light. And they talked about a time that like three explorers, like their lantern went out when they were in this location, and they had to find their way out of the caverns with like zero natural light. And they did it, you know, like they found their way through. And yeah, anyway, I wonder if I could enjoy that now, because I also think about going to the Grand Canyon. It was the same vacation where you saw the Grand Canyon, which is obviously like very, very impressive. Mm-hmm. But like, I at that point even couldn't get really all that close to the edge of it because it did like freak me out. Yeah. And I remember there was like a dad who had dropped his camera, the lens cap, and like was having his daughter like reach down to try to like get it off of a ledge.
Hell no. What is wrong with that person? Jeez.
And I can't like, at that point it freaked me out. I feel like now I could like not get within like 20 feet of the edge. I'd be like, I can see it from here. It looks very impressive from back here. It's okay.
Yeah.
But anyways, there's some like things that I got to see when I was younger that I was thinking about. Do you have anything that you look back on as far as a trip that you went on?
I really truly love going to film festivals. And in 2006, I went to the Stockholm International Film Festival with a movie that I helped make. You know, I mean, whatever. I was a costume designer on it, and it was called Mulberry Street. It was a rat zombie movie, and my husband was a producer. Mm-hmm. They made the movie for $60,000, which for in our minds back then was like so much, but it's like absolutely nothing in terms of making a movie. But our really good friend Jim Mickle directed it, and our friend Nick DiMicci wrote it. So it was like a love affair, just a friendly a group of people, and all the neighborhood people were a part of it. My husband and I have like a little part in it as well. This is also why on my IMDb, if I stop paying for IMDb, it shows me as a rat zombie, and I'm like, oh god, do I keep paying $20 a month just to keep my headshot on, or do I let the world see this rat zombie? It's a horrible, upsetting picture. But we went to, it's, have you seen it, Mike? It's really disgusting.
Yeah, like, okay. Totally. I can see it right now.
I'll put it on our Instagram because it's really upsetting. And you'll just be like, Jesus, what is wrong with this girl? It's not my fault. But it was a really fun project and a really heartfelt project to work on. I also remember, I'm not even talking about a trip yet, but I remember being so tired because I was working my normal job. I was costuming, and then, I mean, I was sleeping maybe 45 minutes a night, and I fell asleep on the train and like ended up at the Yards in the Bronx. It was really scary on the subway. Okay, but actually, so we in 2006 we went to the Stockholm International Film Festival, and that's where it premiered. I loved being in a different land. It was the first time I'd ever been to a Scandinavian country, for one, and everybody is pretty dang cool. I mean, there were moments where we went out, the nightlife was really fun, but some people tried to fight us because we were American, and I think at the time, I don't know, they didn't like the politics, and we're just like, we're good people. But otherwise, the food was great. Randomly, Stockholm has amazing Lebanese food.
Oh.
Some of the fish for breakfast was a little bit much for me. I was like, I can't eat that gefilte fish in the morning or whatever it is. But we made some amazing friends there that to this day we are friends with. And that's where I fell in love with going to like a film festival, because really you get to see when you watch a talk back, you get to see how hard people worked on the show and the love. In Sweden and Stockholm especially, they in that film festival, they have such a respect and love for movies in general. It was really fun to be around. And then when we came home, I felt open and new. And that's the best thing about traveling to different countries, no matter where you go. It's like you feel more aware and less close-minded because people live differently than you do. And obviously, Stockholm's like maybe fancy. It was also, though, by the way, it was only light for like 3 hours. So the rest of the time it was dark. And that was very intense. But also another interesting thing to experience.
That's so funny, yeah. I would like to someday see the Aurora Borealis. Like, I would like to see the Northern Lights, I think would
Ooh,
be
yes.
something I would like to see in person someday.
Let's do it. That'll be a trip. We'll plan it.
Yeah. Do you have anything random to talk about this week?
I have a random thing. I was just thinking about this. It doesn't happen to me so much, but and I think there's so much more awareness now. But like when you don't look like an like and actually probably even if you look any sort of different, never say to a person, "What are you?" I just think I would like to just put that out there.
What a weird question.
Because that happened to me so much. Like, what are you? And I'd be like, my dad would be like, just tell him you're human. And I'd be like, I'm human, you know? And I was, it just, I know, I'm sure everyone who's listening to the podcast knows that, but it really, it's like one of those microaggression-y things where you feel like, well, I'm, and then I would have to explain, I'm half this, I'm half that. And the fun thing about moving to New York and being in LA, nobody really cares. So don't say what are you? I'm sure there's nicer ways to ask.
Yeah, I struggle with that one only in so much as like I understand curiosity. So I understand the idea of like wanting to. I think the question is like, what is your ethnic background or what is your ethnicity?
Yeah.
But even with that, I'm like, I don't think you need to ask someone that the day you meet them.
No.
Like, I don't think that needs to be a. You know, like the first thing you find out about someone, like if you become friends with them at some point,
like
be like,
that.
Hey, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Give it a minute. You know, that doesn't need to be like an icebreaker of like,
exactly.
You know, what is your ethnic background person that I have met 3 seconds ago? Like, yeah, just you don't need to know right away.
Like I was in a meeting and somebody was like, what's your that's the other one is like, where's your name from? And then I tell them like, oh, maybe they know. But then it's like now I'm giving a history lesson of the Middle East and what is the Armenian diaspora? And why did you did now you're made sure everyone knows I'm different. God damn it. No, I love being different.
This is neither here nor there, but there was one day that I was walking out of my building and this guy, I want to make sure that I say it the right way. This guy walking into the building looked at me and said, are you Irish? And I responded without skipping a beat. I responded, no, I'm German. The point of this story is I am not German. I am not German. I am not Irish. Like, I don't know why I said that. Like, I don't know where it came from in me. Like, I don't know if I just couldn't think of Norwegian and Swedish fast enough. But I remember being like, I just said that I was German to this guy. And I'm not. Like, I'm not at all. Like, what a
That's
weird,
bizarre.
Like, go-to ethnicity for me to, like, pull out of nowhere. Anyways, random story. If you're listening to this and I once told you that I was German, I am not. I have no German whatsoever in my background. Very, very weird response for me to have had. So my random thing that I have, it kind of ties into some of the stuff we've talked about before. And that is simply that this morning, upon awakening and receiving the email that I was waiting for, you and I have tickets to Hadestown when you come to New York. And I'm very,
oh
very
my
excited.
God!
Yeah. So there you go. Another show for us to see. Yeah. So there you go. I'm so excited for the future, which is
me
a nice
too.
Thing to say.
Yeah. Me too.
All right. I love you.
I love you too.
I'm looking forward to all of our wonderful future plans that we have.
Me too. Thanks for listening,
all right,
everybody.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you. Talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex in the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores and email us at Mike and Vanya Can't Not at Gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week.